हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीन नमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम् शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
इन् दिस् उपदेशसारम् Ramana Maharshi says, Marga Arjava. Arjava Marga. Arjavam means straightforwardness. So it is also called Rujuta. That's a different meaning there. Straightforwardness implies one being ethical. A person living an ethical life, a person being righteous, a person living his life now being committed to dharma, his knowledge of values, is said to be nobility, which is arjavam or rujuta. And the person of rujuta, the arjavam, is said to be a man of the person of integrity, or the integrated personality, and his thought, word and deed are in alignment. That is arjavam. As we know as dharma, in the context of dharma, we know the word arjavam. But here, marga arjavat, the word comes in one verse, one of the verses of Upadesha Saram. So, this, when you say this, that is straightforwardness, arjavam is different, isn't it? Nobility, rujita, and all that. But here, direct way means what? When you say direct way means, there is no such thing called indirect way and direct way. This is the way. This is not Ramana's way. This is the traditional way. Okay? Traditional way means what? This is what the tradition has been teaching for ages, generations, and timelessly. Understand? This has been there as part of the teaching tradition. This has been there. That's why they always talk about the antakvan. The Shastram emphasizes the antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naishchalyam, mental sadness, mental purity. Why does Shastram teach this? Because the reality has to be recognized only in the mind. That is why Shastram itself teaches. So only thing is, because it talks so much of you give so much of importance for preparing the mind for jnanam, people really do not understand it. It seems as though Ramana Maharshi just gives it as his own methodology. That's not true. There's no methodology. Ramana Maharshi just he says, and even to understand what he says, and you need sampradaya. So what he says actually there, the last verse what we saw, I mean, that is the one verse before the last verse. Daivikaha, daivikaha jivaha vindati. Daivikaha jivaha vindati. A righteous ethical person and who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge and who lives a life of karma yoga, who is mentally pure and steady, who enjoys contemplative disposition of the mind, such a person is said to be a person of virtues, a virtuous person. The virtuous person is said to be the divine personality, the daivikaha jivaha. There is no divine, big. See, I tell you, there is no, we always say a saint, saintly person. We can't talk about a saintly person. And he's a saint. We give him sometimes status now, saint, John, saint. So we give the name to saint to some people. Who is a saint? Who is a saintly person? No, a jnani is a saint. And whoever makes effort to become a jnani or his what? As good as saint only. Because this commitment to dharma, no, commitment to dharma, and the person who lives, who doesn't transgress the values, is a saintly person. So here the daivika jiva, one word which talks about highly virtuous person, the person of great virtues. Who is a person of great virtues? The person that one cannot be a highly virtuous person if one doesn't have purushartha nischeha. So the man who has purushartha nischeha, thereby the one who has the value of knowledge, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and that way one who knows the value of dharma, one who is committed to live a life of dharma, one who lives a life of karma yoga, one who has, now thereby one who has antakarna shuddhi naishchalyam, one who enjoys a contemplative disposition of the mind, such a person is a virtuous person. Daivikaha jivaha. No? Such a person, vindati, definitely, without fail, he there is no failure for such a person. Vindati, he attains. He vindati what? He says, paramam sukham vindati. Paramam sukham vindati. You can just listen and get it. Daivikaha jivaha param sukham vindati. He attains the param sukham, the exalted luxury. He attains the absolute sukham. When you say absolute, he attains absolute sukham. Daivikaha jivaha param sukham vindati. Now this person attains, accomplishes the absolute sukham, absolute happiness. That means the sukham itself is enough. Sukham vindati is enough. But he says, param sukham vindati. Why? Because, why param? The divine, this person, what he accomplishes is the sukham. There's nothing, there's no greater luxury, there's no greater sukham, there's no greater happiness than that. Therefore, he wants to make it, that is the absolute, ultimate. So he said, param sukham. Sukham itself is enough. He attains happiness. Now, in terms of knowledge, he attains happiness, he attains absolute, no, luxury, exalted happiness, exalted sukham. Means, and what is that sukham? What is that sukham? Sukham is a neutral gender word, which is a synonym of another word, anandaha. Have to remember, anandaha, isn't it, is a word. Anandaha, sukham is a synonym of the word anandaha. So anandaha is a masculine gender word. Sukham is a neutral gender word, isn't it? Luxury, sukham, anandaha. Even anandaha means what? Sukham means what? Okay, luxury. What is luxury? There's no greater luxury than happiness. Happiness is luxury. So happiness means what? Being happy is, make it a noun, happiness. No? Happiness is luxury. That is what is anandaha sukham. So what is this happiness? What is this happiness he accomplishes? This daivikaha jivaha. He says, bandha mukti atitam. Bandha mukti atitam. This happiness, which is even free from bondage and moksha. Look at this. Happiness which is free from bondage and moksha, he accomplishes. Atitam. Happiness which is beyond this one, the bondage and moksha, which is beyond means what? Which is free from bondage and moksha. Bandaha and muktihi. So what is that happiness which is free from bandaha, which is free from mokshaha, which is beyond bondage and freedom? What is this happiness? We know that moksha, freedom is, you know, happiness. But he says, one attains moksha, the happiness, which is free from bondage and mokshaha, means what? In this context, you have to understand very carefully, a bondage is a notion. Mokshaha is a notion. What is mokshaha? How do you say bondage and moksha are notional? Okay, I am bound is a notion. I become free is also a notion. These two are notions. I am bound. I become free. Okay, now this is the two notions. Bondage and freedom are what? Purely notional. Notion means what? Look at this. Any notion is what? Notion about other person, notion about a given object is nothing but a thought. Similarly, notion about the self also is what? One's own self also is a thought. Any notion, any view is nothing but a thought. Antahkarna vrittihi. A notion always rises in the form of a thought, vritti only. எந்த ஒன்றை பற்றிய கருத்து எண்ணம், கருத்து சத்தியம் பற்றிய எண்ணம். So notion about the self. What is the notion about the self? I am bound is what a notion. And I want to be free. And I am, now I am free from bondage is also a notion. Both two notions only. And notions means what? Antahkarna vrittis. Antahkarna vrittihi. So this person, the daivikaha jivaha, the highly virtuous person, attains exalted happiness, you know, the absolute happiness, which is free from bondage. And moksha means what? Bandha mukti atitam, which is free from bandha and muktihi means what? Which is happiness, which is free from any notions. Free from notion. Free from notions means what? Happiness, which is free from the hold of notions. Which is free from notions. What do we mean by happiness being free from notions? Look at this. I say, H2O, H2O is free from wave. H2O is free from the wave means what? H2O is free from the hold of the wave. H2O is free from the wave. You can see, just say, H2O is free from the wave means what? Free from the wave means H2O does not have the wave, does not own the wave. H2O is not limited by the wave. H2O is not limited, bound by the wave. What is a wave? Wave is a namarupa, name of a form, a given form, isn't it? Similarly, wood is not bound by the shelf, the name and form shelf. Wood is not bound by, gold is not bound by the name and form chain. Gold is free from chain. Look at this. Gold is free from chain means what? Gold is not limited or bound by the name and form chain. Wood is free from the shelf means wood is not bound by the name and form shelf. Similarly, H2O is not bound by wave. The name and form means H2O is free from the name and form wave. Not bound by that means. Not bound by means what? It is not dependent on the namarupa. Gold is not dependent on the chain namarupa. Wood is not dependent on the self namarupa. Is it clear now? Similarly, H2O is not dependent on the wave namarupa, name and form. That not being dependent on namarupa for its existence is what? Not being bound by that. Not being limited by that. That means what? Water, H2O can exist without being a wave, without even the absence of the name and form wave. Wood can exist independent of the, wood can be there as wood without being a shelf or cupboard. Gold can be without being a chain. Therefore what? Its existence of the gold is not dependent, not bound, not limited, you know, by the name and form chain. Similarly, wood, the existence of wood is not dependent on shelf means, it is not bound or limited by this namarupa shelf. Isn't it? Similarly, H2O is not limited by, it's bound by the namarupa wave. This is what is not being dependent, being independent is not being bound or limited by a given namarupa. Similarly, here, this happiness, the absolute happiness, which this person, the virtuous person, as a jnani, accomplishes, that happiness, look at this, is free from bondage and mokshaha. Means what? Is free from the notions that I am bound and I am. You have to understand, bondage here means the notion that I am bound. Mukti means the notion that I am free. This happiness is what now? Free from bondage and moksha means free from the notions that I am bound and I am free. Is it clear now? That means what? This happiness is not dependent on these notions for its existence. This happiness is not bound by or limited by these notions. What are the notions? The thoughts. Notion in the form of thoughts. This one thing it tells, this happiness is not bound by these two notions in the form of thoughts means, happiness is not bound by any thought for that matter. Notion, two notions, isn't it? Any notion one has about the self, ahankara. I am bound is a notion, I am free is a notion, I am a mortal is a notion, I am limited is a notion. All these are notions. So, any number of notions one entertains about the self, which are otherwise known as what? Ahankaraha. All those notions are what? Nothing but thoughts. Nothing but vrittis. Antahkana vrittayaha. So, these notions in the form of vrittis, thoughts, do not bind, do not limit what? Limit the happiness. The happiness is not limited. So, happiness is not dependent on these notions for its existence. Happiness is not bound by, limited by any of the notions. Not only by the notions, not limited by any of the thoughts, not by the entire mind also. Therefore, happiness is not limited by anything else also. Is it, you know, any object of knowledge or the knowledge or the ignorance or any thought, any notion, happiness is something which is not limited by anything, bound by anything, which is free from everything, free from all the notions. Okay, therefore happiness being free from the notions that I am bound, I am free, is free, said to be free from bondage and moksha, is said to be beyond the bondage and moksha, that happiness he accomplishes. Then next question comes here. That is, then what about we when we say what attains moksha means what? Really speaking, why we say there is no real bondage, there is no real moksha? Other than the reality, everything is as though. You know that. Isn't it? Other than the reality, the awareness, everything else is what? Neither real nor unreal. Unreal means you know that that which does not exist at all is unreal. That which always exists is real. So that which exists in the present, which wouldn't have been in the past, which will not be later on, and which while existing also it is dependent upon the satyam for its existence is mithya, you know that. Mithya means that which is as though. Iruppadu pol iruppadu. Unmail illadhu. Isn't it? That which is as though. Therefore any notion is what now? Also as though. Therefore what about this notion that I am bound? Moksha also is what? I am free now is a notion which is as though. Understand now? And I am bound, which is a notion also, is as though, which is not real. If the bondage is real, there is no way of becoming free. So, no effort will help you to become free. If the moksha is real also, then you don't need to make any effort to become free. Is it clear now? So, what now? Bondage is real. It is real bondage. There is no way of becoming free at all. If moksha is real, then there is no need for you to make any efforts to become free. Don't need to attain moksha free. They already have been. Listen. That is why they both are what as though, and both are only in the notions. Bondage is in the notion. Moksha also is in the notion. That is why the notions alone are what know there. So this person accomplishes happiness means he accomplishes happiness which is free from these notions, like H2O, which is free from waves, which is the happiness which is free from these notions the form of bondage and moksha. Till now, I'm going step by step. That means, what is this happiness? That means a happiness which, when you say it's free from the notions, means it is not a state of mind. Any notion is a state of mind, isn't it? Whereas happiness is not a state of mind. Then what about whenever we say I am happy, I am unhappy, then what do we mean by that then? Whenever we say I am happy, we mistake the pleasure for happiness, okay? And we identify ourselves with that state of, that pleasure, state of mind. Whenever an individual identifies, has identity with the state of mind, which is called pleasure, then he says he is happy. I am happy. That means what? I am identified with what? A state of mind. What is state of mind? Pleasure. What is that state? When does that state of mind exist? I tell you, whenever there is self-forgetfulness. Understand now? Self-forgetfulness means what? Whenever one forgets one's limitations. Okay? Anything which helps one to forget one's limitations for a short while, there is a state of mind called pleasure. There is painlessness. Okay? There is a state of painlessness. When there is a state of painlessness, the state of painlessness is called pleasure. What is pleasure now? Pleasure is a state of mind, which is otherwise called a state of painlessness. A state of painlessness is something which naturally there whenever one forgets one's limitations, one's sense of being limited. When does one forget one's the problem of fundamental problem of smallness being handled on I, one sense of inadequacy? Whenever a person forgets sense of inadequacy and sense of smallness which is centered on I, he goes to a state of painlessness, which is otherwise called a pleasure. And what is the state? When does one forget oneself? Not forgetting oneself. When does one forget one's limitations, one's sense of inadequacy, one's the sense of being small, one's smallness being centered on I? When does it one forget? Whenever a person's mind is occupied, you know, with something, whenever a person, anything which keeps one busy, completely occupies the attention of the mind, anything which occupies the mind completely, totally, you know, keeps a person very busy, keeps a person entertained, and that, you know, then a person has a state of mind called painlessness, which is called a pleasure. It's a state of mind. And the person identifies with that state of mind, he says, I am happy. When the I sense is centered on that state of mind, then the identity of the state of mind, he says, I am happy. You know what is pleasure? When a person identifies himself, when a person says, I am happy, what is that pleasure? When does one have that state of mind? You know all these things. That's why when you are so preoccupied, so busy, you know, with things, doing things, it can be things of entertainment, things of enjoyment, things of, you know, or even other, we don't have very, you know, hectic programs, you know, which are very important for your day-to-day things. When you are engrossed in those things, and if things work the way you expect things to go, then you're so preoccupied, busy. Therefore, because Arthakama pursuits are so important. So, for the sake, Arthakamas are very, very important. So, you have to pursue Arthakamas. Not to pursue Arthakamas and involve yourself in doing something. And if those things which you are involved in also go, work to your expectations, then naturally you get so busy, so preoccupied. Entertained, engaged, preoccupied, fully occupied, then attention of the mind is not available. Understand now? For thinking about what? The smallness of the eye, a sense of inadequacy. Then what is the name? Oh, things are going very, very busy, going around and coming out. Then that state of mind is called what? State of painlessness. The state of painlessness is in fact a pleasure. That pleasure is in fact mistaken for happiness. Then not only that, this identity is with that state of mind. That is when a person says, I am happy. Really speaking, look at this. One does not know what happiness is. That is why, in fact, nobody, one who knows happiness cannot say, I am happy. He need not say, I am happiness. He knows he is happiness. One who knows what happiness is need not say, I am happiness, but he'll know he is happiness. Understand? One who does not know what happiness is, he will say, I am happy. And therefore, this jnani, param sukham vindati means what? He attains absolute happiness, and that happiness is free from this what? Free from the notion of bondage and moksha. Bondage and moksha. That means, what is that happiness then? What is that happiness? Therefore, we have to say, to understand happiness, you have to know, actually, the happiness is limitlessness. Limitlessness alone is happiness. Happiness is limitlessness. If you to say, for one, accomplishing happiness means knowing what happiness is, in accomplishing happiness, attaining happiness. And to know what happiness is, you know what limitlessness is. There's no way of understanding happiness without knowing what limitlessness is. Understanding limitlessness is understanding happiness. Understanding happiness is attaining happiness. That's what is paramam sukham. And that sukham is free from all these notions. Is it clear now? So, what is happiness now? What is limitlessness? How do we say limitlessness is happiness? Please, very important thing. You need to know this. Why do we say limitlessness is happiness? There is no other happiness other than limitlessness. Understand? There is no something or happiness, something different. No. Limitlessness is happiness. Be very clear. Anybody can come and wake you up at any time in the night, to any time, anywhere. You can very clearly, like how when you present a mathematical problem and go step by step, arrive at the answer, how clearly you can present it, nobody can say anything. Similarly, you can also say here, limitlessness is happiness. There is no other happiness. Why? Because being limited alone is being unhappy. Being limited alone is being bound. Being limited is being bound, and being bound is what? Being unhappy. Being limitless is being free, and being free is being happy. Therefore, what? Limitlessness is freedom. Freedom is what? Happiness. How do you say being limited is being unhappy? Therefore, being limitless is being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. How do you say that? Because it's just the notion. Being limited is a notion. Therefore, there is the notion because of the wrong identity. It's like a space which has the pot upadhi. There's a pot, a clay pot, a big pot, and which is there. And where does the pot exist? The pot exists in the very space. So the pot cannot limit the space. Look at this. The pot cannot limit the space. Pot exists in space. But this pot seems to be enclosing a given space, area of space. So the space there in the ghataha, in the pot, is what now? Ghata akashaha. what is now Ghata Akashaha, this pot space. And the pot space, being limited now. Okay, pot space cannot be limited by the pot. Why? In fact, there is no such thing called pot space. Look at this. There is no such thing called pot space. There is only space. The very expression to say pot space is wrong. Why? Because there is seeming existence, okay? And pot space. The space, if you say this, there is no such thing called pot space, because there's only space, the part itself is name and form which exists in the space. Isn't it? But how does it look? And the part space, and then this part, as though, it divides the space. The part looks, seems to be dividing the space. Really, they cannot divide the space. Therefore, what now? The part, then the name and form part is what now? Becomes upadhi for the space. Upadhi for the space. And so what now? Part space, there is a part space, there is a notion. Okay, what is that? I am limited space. I am limited. I am limited. I am bound by part. Okay? I am limited by part. I am a limited space. What is this? That space has mean, things means, there is only notion of the thought, notion of the space, isn't it? It's only notion. There is no really speaking, there is no physical part space. I am limited is what now? The notion. I am bound is also the notion. Thereby what now? I am small. I am limited, I am bound, therefore I am small. This is notion. And then now, I am small. The part, okay, I am small, being there, the notion, I am small, the smallness being centered on I, then the sense of being limited and bound is what? Results in what? The sense of inadequacy, other problems, therefore there is something called pain. The fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I, the sense of inadequacy centered on I, itself is due to what? Due to this identity with the upadhi. Therefore what? That's why there's something called pain, something called unhappiness, something called grief, something called sorrow, something called sadness, different degrees of emotional pain. The pain is due to this notion. Pain is what now? Due to the notion. Isn't it? So that is why pain is due to the notion, and there is no real bondage. Please understand, there is no real bondage. There is no real smallness. It's only the notion. Therefore, what now? Due to the notion, this pain is there. So being limited, being bound is a happens to be the notion. Being bound is what now? Being is this pain. Being bound is being unhappy. Is it clear now? Being bound is being unhappy. Being bound is a notion, and that entertaining that notion of being bound is unhappiness. Therefore, what now? Being bound, being limited is being unhappy, and being limitless is being happy. Therefore, what? Limitlessness is happiness. Now, what does this space do now? To become limitless, look at this. The space can never become limitless. Next step, okay? The space can never become limitless space. Mahan Akashaha, Ghata Akashaha can never become Mahan Akashaha. The pot space can never become big space. Why? Because there is no such thing called pot space. What is there is only space, and that space is was always it is limitless. This pot space actually is all what? Space is already space. There is no pot space thing called pot space, isn't it? Never becomes. It's already free from limitations. It's not limited. Sorry, notion. So the notion that I am bound, I am limited, is what now? Being unhappy. Understand now? Unhappiness. Therefore, being limitless is what? Being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is what now? The space cannot become limitless. Space already limitless. Therefore, limitless, being limitless is what? Not the notion. It is the swarupam. Is it clear now? Being limitless is the swarupam. Therefore, limitlessness is the swarupam. Therefore, being limitless is being happy. And being happy, happiness is what? Swarupam. Similarly, here one has to say, being limitless implies what now? Now, all reality being free from all limitations. All the limitations being not there is being limitless. All the limitations means what? Because it's timelessness, spatially limitlessness, object-based limitlessness, there's no limitation at all, no limitation is there. No object can limit, no space cannot limit, times cannot limit, time cannot limit, so nothing can limit. Not limited, bound by anything, time, space and object. But how to know that? No, the limitlessness, what is that limitlessness now? Limitlessness again is the nature, isn't it? Swarupam of the reality. When you say, limitlessness is what? Fullness. These three words you always should remember. Fullness is limitlessness, limitlessness is happiness. And fullness again, I told you, fullness is what? The very nature. What is the nature of the fullness? Why do you say it's the fullness is the nature? Because fullness is, what is fullness now? A fullness and limitlessness happens on one and the same means. Fullness is nothing but the reality. Reality is nothing but the fullness. Reality is fullness, fullness is reality. So with reference to ocean, I told even yesterday in the class, water need not do anything, achieve anything, accomplish anything, fulfill anything, no, do anything to be pervading the entire ocean, to be full of the ocean, to fill the ocean. Isn't it? Water needs to be there, that's all. So being itself is what? Being full. Being is being full. Water being itself is what? Being full with reference to ocean. So fullness is what? Is the nature. Swarupam. That is why, and what is the reality of the ocean? When you say H2O. H2O is the reality of the ocean. Why do you say it's the reality of the ocean? Because existence of H2O is the existence of the ocean. H2O is the existence of the ocean, therefore H2O is the reality of the ocean. Existence is the reality. It's that which lends life, existence is what? The reality, isn't it? So existence, what is the word you have to understand here now? Sat. So I'm coming from fullness to Sat and Sat to Chit, okay? Listen to me now. Sat is what now? Existence. What is existence? Existence of the universe, when you say, so with reference to, I have to use, remember this example. Existence of H2O is the existence of the ocean. Therefore, H2O is the existence of the ocean. And why this H2O being existence, the Sat of the ocean? It is the reality of the ocean, Satyam. Sat eva Satyam. Is it clear now? Existence is the Satyam, the reality, the truth of the ocean. And what is the reality? Because it is the Satya existence, because the reality, being full is its what now? Reality, nature of the reality is what? Nature of the reality is being full. Why do you call it being full is the nature of the reality? That is why it is reality. It pervades everything. So to be is to be full. Understand now. To be is to fill. To be is to fill. To be full. To be is to fill. To be full. Is it clear now? Therefore, with reference to ocean, I can say fullness with reference to ocean is H2O. Fullness with reference to the existence with reference to ocean is H2O. Therefore, what? Existence is fullness. Fullness is existence. Is it clear now? Anantam. Anantam. Eva anantameva what? Anantameva sat. Satteva anantam. Purnam. Purnam anantam anandaha. Sukham. So, to sat the reality, existence is what now? Is anantam. Purnam. With reference to ocean, water the H2O, the Sat is the fullness, existence is fullness, fullness is existence. They are not two different things. Therefore, what now? The Sat, the existence. Similarly, with reference to the whole cosmos also, there is a reality. Please listen to me carefully. There is a reality with reference to the whole Jagat, Prapanchaha, Lokaha, no? That reality is what? Sat, the existence, which is the Satyam of the Jagat, is what? Is the fullness with reference to Jagat. And that fullness is what? Limitlessness. Fullness is limitlessness, and limitlessness is what? Also, happiness. Therefore, happiness, sukham means what now? Anandaha. Anandaha means what now? Anantam, limitlessness. Anantam means what? Purnam. Fullness. Is it clear now? What is it then? A very reality. Happiness is very reality. I want you to understand. Happiness and reality are not two different things. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is reality. How do you understand that? By understanding limitlessness. What do you mean by limitlessness? Because fullness. Why it is fullness? Why it fills everything? Because it's the very reality. It is, unless you understand Sat, you can't understand the fullness. Satyam. Understand now? Satyam, the Sat is what? Fills everything. Is full. Existence is fullness. Fullness is existence. And this existence is also what? With reference to Jagat, we say the existence, the Sat, the Satyam, is what also say now, Satyam also is said to be what? The is not, has no beginning, has no end, doesn't undergo any change. Why it has no beginning, why it doesn't have any end, why it doesn't undergo any change? Because it has no cause. Only then you can call it absolute reality, okay? With reference to whole Jagat, there is a reality. Example, with reference to ocean, H2O is reality, you can say, because ocean has a beginning, but H2O with reference to ocean has no beginning. And it's with reference to ocean. Basically, with reference to the whole Jagat, the reality, therefore what? The Jagat is, as good as the ocean, when you say the reality is not as good as the water, understand here. When you say reality, the Sat, Satyam, has no beginning. So what now? Has no beginning, no end means, it. Why? Because it has no cause. For something to begin, it must have the cause already. It has no cause. It has no cause means what? It is uncaused. Causeless, uncaused. Okay, causeless, uncaused is what? The reality. Therefore, it has no beginning. Therefore, it has no end. Therefore, what? It is eternal. Is it clear now? Therefore, this reality, which is a Sat, the Satyam, the reference to whole Jagat, is what? The fullness, the limitlessness, which is the happiness. Now, what is happiness? Satyam of the Jagat. What is Satyam? Sat of the Jagat. What is limitlessness? What is happiness? What is fullness? The reality. There are two different things. What is this Satyam? What is this Satta? What is this Satyam? Which is Purnam Anantam Anandaha Sukham? That Sukham, can you see Sukham through physical eyes? Can you objectify Sukham? Can you objectify Or when you say when you cannot objectify sukham, means what? It is not a thought. Understand? A thought also is what? Object of your knowledge. Any thought is object of your knowledge. If you say if it is state of mind, it must be object of your knowledge. If happiness is a state of mind, then it must be available for objectification. But now we say happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is not available for objectification. Why? Because happiness is the very reality. Is it clear now? That is why as long as you want to experience sukham, experience means what? It's a thought. That is why sukha anubhava. We never say that. That's only pleasure. Sukham in the question terms of experience means what? Experience means it's a state of mind. So happiness being full limitlessness, limitlessness being fullness, fullness being the sat, the satyam, the existence of the universe, it is not what now? It cannot be a state of mind. Understand now? Not it cannot be, it is not a state of mind. Then what is that satyam? Which is fullness, which is limitlessness, which is happiness? That satyam is never available for objectification. It is available only for... How can one accomplish sukham? We just studied in the last verse says, you know, this daivikaha purushaha param sukham vindati means, how does he accomplish? He accomplishes not, you know, accomplishing in terms of knowledge, in terms of recognition, in terms of ascertainment, ascertained knowledge of happiness. Accomplishment is only in terms of ascertained understanding. That's why the sukham happens to be the satyam, the existence, the reality. That reality is not available for objectification, not as an available as an object. It is the very available for recognition only as the subject. So what is an object? Object is the known, subject is the knower, and the subject with reference to every individual happens to be I. And therefore, Ramana Maharishi says, Shastram says, the tradition says, what does it say? That is why, Manaha yove danihitam guhayam parame vyoman. So oshnute sarvan kamaan saha. I have to say so much, just to say it is not his way, not anybody's way. And nobody's way, it is just the Vedic tradition has been there time from time immemorial. Anybody, any time Dr. Hari comes and teaches, don't accept anybody says it's mine. It is just Sadashiva Samarambham, Shankara Acharya Madhyamam, Asmada Acharya Paryantam, Vande Guru Paramparam. It has been coming down. Understand? We can't just, nobody can say it's my own, I have found it, I have discovered it. I can say very well, I got from my teacher, I'm giving it to you. Of course, I play the role of a teacher now, but to play the role of a teacher, I have got it from my teacher. Isn't it? It's not that my own, I am giving it. No. I borrowed it, I'm passing it on. You can pass it on to somebody else. That's all. It's nobody's, you know, private property. Because people don't understand and then they say all these confusing things. So the Shastra makes it very clear, because this happiness, so happiness is not a state of mind, must be very clear. Why? Because happiness is limitlessness, and limitlessness is fullness, and the fullness is nothing but Sat, the existence, which is Satyam, the reality, and that is never available for, and that never accomplished. It is something which has no beginning. Why I have to say here? Because there is no beginning and end. It is eternal. That is why what is eternal cannot be attained as a what is eternal is timeless in nature. A timeless thing cannot be accomplished through, accomplished by, you know, a means which is time-bound in nature, like karma. Therefore what? It is something to be recognized. Only in terms of ascertainment, ascertained understanding, you can accomplish it. There's no other way of accomplishing it. And because that satyam, that full happiness, fullness, this reality is available for recognition as subject of knowledge, not as an object, and you have to know who is subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge with reference to individual is a knower, and that knower with reference to individual is what? Every individual is what? I. Where is that I? In fact, I, even though it is spoken out as a word, has first person singular pronoun, and that first person singular pronoun, the I, actually, in fact, first it is in the form of a thought, vritti. I thought, aham vritti, which is the basis for all other vrittayaha. We saw it, aham vritti maashitaha, aham vritti maashitaha, sarvaha vrittayaha. All the vrittis which constitute the mind. Why I am saying Sanskrit word vritti means a thought, isn't it? All the vrittis, all the thoughts which constitute the mind are based on, centered on the I thought. But because without the I thought, other thoughts are not possible. Therefore, knowing the knower, in order to know the knower, to not to discover who the knower is, you need to know, understand now, this knower is available for recognition only as what? Only when you find out the origin of I. By knowing the origin, the source, the truth, the essence of I thought, which alone emerges out through your mouth as the first person singular pronoun, the I, no, I, he, is what? That is the basis of all the thoughts. So knowing the origin of the truth, that I thought, is in fact essence of the I thought, is knowing the essence of all the thoughts which constitute the mind. That is the only way you can arrive at the knower, subject of knowledge. And once you discover the knower, afterwards we are not interested in knowing who the knower is, we are interested in knowing what is that reality, the satyam, the sat, the existence, which alone is fullness. In Tamil we have beautiful word niraivu. Iruppe niraivu. Niraive iruppu. Existence is fullness. Existence is fullness. Fullness is existence means existence is happiness. Happiness is existence. I just want to tell you, it's not a state of mind. That is why I wanted to tell it, make it very clear. There's no way of discovering, there's no way of accomplishing happiness without having recognized the existence of the Jagat. And there's no way of recognizing pure existence, the reality of the Jagat, without having, understand now, having, without knowing who the knower is. This only way, you see, manasam tukim margane krite, man naiva manasam marga arjavat. Very straight method here, the straight, you know, the direct method here, nothing is there means what? You can just go. And there again what? Ahami nashak, you know, he says, ahami leena ke. You know, alaya sattaya, what is it which is there always? You know, without resolving. The thoughts resolve, thoughts rise, thoughts remain, thoughts resolve. But what is there without resolve, is dissolving all the time, is what? The knower. That is why it is available for happiness, the existence of the Jagat. The Satyam is available for recognition, not as an object, but as the subject. Subject is the knower, object is the known. The knower with reference to every individual is available for recognition only as the content, the essence of I thought. Because I thought is the aham vritti, is the base of all the thoughts. Knowing the origin of I thought itself is what? As good as knowing all the essence of all the thoughts, the entire mind. You are not interested in knower, okay? We are interested in this, what is that sat? This is the way you, first you go. Then you see there is no knower other than pure knowledge. All these objects come to light, all these objects exist. All these opaque objects exist, I can see all the colors. My God, how is it possible I'm able to see? Last night, after 4 o'clock, without the light, I couldn't see anything here. Now I can see everything. What is that? Because how come that I'm able to see? what is it which really, what is that, no, lends existence to all the opaque objects? What is the existence of the opaque objects? Oh, the opaque, existence of opaque objects available for recognition as the illuminator. You have to search for the illuminator. Because they are all illumined. There is an illuminator there. That is why they are all illumined. Who is the illuminator? Then I understand, oh, if I remove the light, there is no illuminator. The light is, there is illuminator. Therefore what? Illuminator does not exist minus light. So what? The existence of light is the existence of illuminator. So what? Illuminator is light. I saw the illuminator in the light. Similarly, this is what is resolving. See, without the light, the illuminator cannot exist independently. The understanding is what? Illuminator, resolving illuminator in the light. Similarly here, so who this knower is? The knower is, with there's no minus awareness, there cannot be knower. There's no other knower. Therefore what? Knower is nothing other, nothing but awareness. The awareness is pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness, which is there always, knowing. How? Because when the I is there, it is there. I is not there also, it is there. Thoughts are there, it is there. Knowing the thoughts being there. Thoughts are not there, illumining the thoughts being there, it is there. Aham inashake. Even when the aham, not aham inashake. Aham ilinake api alaya sattaya. Now without resolving that which is there, knowing the aham being resolved, what is that? That is what is knowledge, pure knowledge. So what? We are interested in subject and object, okay? We are interested, we have to be very careful. People get stuck with this, all these things. Our interest is in knowing what is the reality. Sadvastu. Sadvastu is what? Chidvastu. Understand now? Chit. Hey, this chit, this is what is chit? The chaitanyam. How will you know what chaitanyam is? How can you know what consciousness? How can you know what awareness is? How can you know what pure knowledge is? How pure knowledge looks? How, in what form is pure knowledge? How will you know? You can't hug, you can't do anything, you can't see nothing. Only recognize. Understand now? Recognition. You recognize, this is what is, oh, this is what is, Satya is this. Why? This is the know, we said Satya is available for recognition as the knower, subject of knowledge. The knower is this, this is what the knower is. So knower is, there's no other knower, this is the knower. Okay, so resolve the knower, you have arrived at what? The chit. Chit, the pure consciousness, the pure awareness, the pure knowledge is, there's no other Sat. Understand now? Pure knowledge is, the existence of awareness is, the existence of knower. Look at this. Existence of knower is, existence of I. Existence of I is, existence of anything is. Existence of Jagat. Existence of, understand now, therefore what? Awareness is the existence of the Jagat. And this awareness is the existence of the Jagat. Therefore what? Awareness is the reality of the Jagat. Therefore what? Reality means what? It is beginningless, endless, changeless. So what? This awareness being the reality of the Jagat. It is also what? It without any effort, without any action, by its swarupam, it fills everything. So fullness is what? Existence. Existence is what? Awareness. So full, being full is what? Being full is being limitless. Okay? Being, not being full is what? Being limited. Being full. What does the space need to do to fill, to be full? What does this awareness need to do to be full? No. See, existence the pure existence, there is the reality, and reality need not do anything to be full. So being full is being limitless. Okay, not being full is what? Being limited. Being limited is what? Being unhappy. So being limitless is what? Being happy. So limitlessness is what? Happiness. So what is happiness? Existence. What is existence? Awareness. So what is happiness? Awareness. Awareness is happiness. This Vindati, this person, kaha Vindati? Daivikaha Jeevaha Vindati, this highly virtuous jnani who has been contemplative, has ascertained, assimilated doubtful vision of the oneness of the non-dual, secondless reality. Thereby, that person's mind abides in that, even absorbed in that vision of that reality means, so paramam sukham vindati. How does he attain? Does he walk towards or what? Accomplishes in terms of ascertained vision. Does he need to do anything to accomplish? No. Why? Because that fullness, that happiness, which is the sat, is what? The awareness, which is the very content of the I thought, which is that distancelessly available. What is the distance? Which is there? What is the distance between H2O and wave? What is the distance? But there's no distance. What is the distance between space, light, and the light? Or illuminating the object. What is the distance between space and the part space under space? What is the distance? There's no distance, isn't it? So recognition is what now? Understand now? That is why recognizing, thereby ascertaining, having ascertained vision of the reality is what? Accomplishing this. Accomplishment in terms of ascertained understanding of the awareness, being the existence, being the limitlessness is in fact fullness, is accomplishment of absolute sukham. And this awareness, look at this, this awareness which is the sat, the existence, and which is limitlessness, fullness and happiness, is free from what? Any notions. Like space is free from pot, not bound by pot, not bound by all the walls which seem to be dividing this space. All boundaries, all the objects which exist in space, the space which is completely not bound by, not limited by the objects which exist in space. The space completely free from all the objects. Why? Because all the objects have their very existence in the space. Isn't it? Similarly, this awareness, this consciousness is what now? Consciousness, the awareness, this which is existence, which is happiness, is not bound by any thoughts, any minds, any gross beings, any functions, any actions, any laws, nothing. What can bind, what can limit the awareness? Nothing. It's free, isn't it? That is why the awareness is that the existence. Existence is happiness, the fullness, limitlessness, happiness. And that happiness, we say happiness is free from bondage and moksha means what? Happiness is free from all the notions. Means awareness is, reality is free from all the notions. Reality is from all notions means there is no other reality, there is no other existence other than awareness. Is free from all the notions. Therefore, he accomplishes. This is why, that is why you have to understand recognizing the self, the reality, recognizing the self, the all-pervasive reality is available for recognition as pure awareness, as the content of I thought, already being free from the notion of being bound, the notion of becoming free is what? What is freedom? What is freedom now? What is moksha? Moksha means what now? What is moksha? Recognizing the self being already free from the notion of being bound and becoming free is what? Moksha. This is why he says, what should you do for this? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.